BlakeRadio.com.
Hey, this is Trish Stratus.
This is Showtime Eric Young.
I'm Sunday Tomorrow.
Hey, this is James from WWE.
This is your favorite knockout, Tara.
Hey, this is Adam Copeland, a.k.a. the Rated R Superstar.
This is WWE Superstar The Miz.
It's me, DDP.
The greatest man that ever lived always likes a good rant, and you're listening to the greatest rant.
Stratisfaction is guaranteed.
It's time to experience the award-winning The Rack.
Coming down the aisle will be the former champion, and you'll hear his music.
Did someone not get what they wanted? Oh, that's too bad.
Where is your savior?
Surprise, surprise.
He ain't here for you, but you know who is? I am. I am here for you just like I have been every day since I have been around.
With your host, Lindsay Ward.
Look at me, woman.
Oh my God, it's Taker, 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 Taker. Does Taker hate me? Oh my God, it's Taker.
And her producer, Sir Rocket.
All you have to do is believe!
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
We're here.
On WildTalkRadio.com, brought to you by our friends over at Wrestling Figure Wednesdays. Go to YouTube.com/MBG1211 for all your wrestling action figure needs, including stop-motion animation, because I forgot to throw that in there. I am your host, Lindsay Ward, and joining me, as always, is my ever-faithful producer slash co-host slash handyman, Sir Rockin.
I would say I'm more of a handyman this week than ever before.
Uh-huh. And we kind of have a really, really huge show for you guys this week. It's going to be a little bit shorter show because I have to get up and go to work in the morning, sadly. But, you know, we have news. We have notes. We have NXT. We have Kane. You know, just
you know
the usual. Oh, wait. No, that's not the norm, is it?
No, it's really not the norm that we have the big red machine. The devil's favorite demon, corporate Kane.
No, just call him Kane.
Just Kane.
It's not corporate. It's not demon. It's just Kane, okay? He's kind of... No, I won't say that, because he'd get mad. But we have Kane.
It's not Malibu Kane. It's just simply Kane.
It's just Kane.
Just Kane.
Just Kane. Just one word.
Yeah, K-A-N-E. Kane is on the show tonight, ladies and gentlemen. Kane.
Which is kind of awesome, and I'll talk about that after the interview airs, and he's coming up here in a little bit for you guys. We're going to get through the news and notes brought to you by our friends over at pwmania.com. Go there for all your news needs. I just realized we forgot to come up with a question of the night last night.
Yeah, well, we have Kane, so that's all that matters.
Yeah, we were kind of squeeing last night, so anyway.
And we had other things we had to handle, too.
Yeah, Total Divas, too, so we were a little busy last night, but... Now we're going to talk about some of the biggest stories of the week, and I think we have to start with the biggest one of all, which is the surprise release of Justin Roberts.
That sort of came out of the blue. We finished a Raw post show around 11:45 midnight on Monday, and about 12:15, 12:30, you see on the internet, Justin Roberts released, Justin Roberts released. It's like, he was just on my TV. He's been on my TV since 2002. And now he's no longer going to be on my TV?
Apparently WWE decided they did not want to renew his contract, especially with several ring announcers coming up from NXT, including Cody Rhodes' wife, Eden. I believe Lillian Garcia has been wanting to move back to Raw, and they've wanted to move her back to Raw, and this, I guess, is the best way that they thought they could do it.
Maybe not. Maybe not. I believe, from what I'm hearing, she may be staying on SmackDown.
Mm.
And Eden may be moving to Monday nights.
Okay, well, either way.
That's the rumor going around that Cody Rhodes' wife, Eden, will be making the move from Main Event to WWE Monday Night Raw starting this Monday. That's not 100% confirmed, but that seems to be the story going around right now. They decided not to renew his contract, and it's kind of it's an interesting thing, because he put out on Instagram like a couple months ago, here's his full schedule, and he was prepared to be with WWE until at least through November. And this sort of came out of the blue and caught a lot of people off guard, including wrestlers and people who work for the company, where it's like, huh, he's gone. That's kind of strange. So everyone's like, all right, who goes where? What do I have to do? Probably Tony Chimmel goes back on the road, because I don't see Lillian doing the house show, so someone has to replace him there. Byron Saxon's been thrown around as a name who may be doing some ring announcing from time to time. JoJo may be coming up. Who knows? There's a lot of things are in flux right now because of one person being let go, which is, it's kind of a big deal. He's been the voice of Monday Night Raw since 2009 when Lillian Garcia left. The first time he was on SmackDown for 7 years. Before that, he's a constant on the program, a very constant ring announcer. He doesn't make many mistakes.
No, he really doesn't. He's actually one of the better ring announcers they've really ever had, because he had that really great voice, and he always had such an enthusiasm when he announced people to the ring.
Yeah.
And just, wow. You know, he just seemed like an all-around really good, cool guy, and I know that doesn't have any bearing in terms of, him having a job, I should say, but it's really surprising.
Yeah, it really, really is. And I want to throw something out there, because JBL made a comment on his Facebook page today, and it sort of needs to be addressed, because there was rumors going around that he got fired because he flipped off Michael Cole at Raw and stuff like that. And that was farthest from the truth, but that was like an internet rumor. And JBL said this: I saw on the internet that Michael Cole and Justin Roberts got into a fight at ringside during a live Raw. Do you realize how preposterous this is? Michael has zero break time during the 3 hours. King and I barely have enough time to tweet. We go straight to the WWE app during commercials, which Maggle is so helpful in showing everyone how to download, and back to TV action. This fight, in quotations, never happened and couldn't have happened due to the lack of time. I have no idea how these things start, but happy that people care enough to write about what we do and what goes on. Sometimes, though, the news, in quotations, is wrong, as in this case. I wish Justin is the best, obviously, and I know nothing of his departure other than what was announced, but wanted to clear this up, as the internet was buying this for a fact for some reason. And he also goes on the ad. I do want to wish Maggle a happy birthday yesterday. I do think Maggle is the best play-by-play guy in WWE, and basically has ever had. And before you all hop on the JR Gorilla bandwagon, I mean no insult to either of those guys, both of all-time greats. I've worked with Michael since my broadcast started and have never seen anyone better that is obviously subject to my opinion. The stuff he has to do with all the social media, the app, network, etc. makes his job the hardest play-by-play in the world, in my opinion. And as much as I love getting on him on air, I think he is great at it.
Well, there you go.
And to be fair, we give Michael Cole a lot of crap from time to time, but JBL is right. I don't think JR could handle all the stuff Cole does right now.
No, I don't think he could. It's a new generation, and they're bringing the next generation up in NXT right now and on Superstars and Main Events. So there's going to come a time where Michael Cole's going to leave, and they're going to bring up, you know, someone like Byron Saxton or Renee Young or Tom Phillips or anyone like that.
Right. But yeah, it's sad to see Justin go, because as we mentioned, he's very good at his job, and it'll be interesting to see how they replace him. And if you don't notice the ring announcer, it's a good thing, because we've had some ring announcers in the past where they've screwed up a lot, and when you have that, it's not good. So if the next person just falls in line and does their job, I think we'll all be in a good place.
I agree with that.
So
best of luck to Justin Roberts. Sorry to see him go, but
he has his own new business. You can follow him on Twitter at Justin Roberts. He started a business a few months ago, so that'll keep him occupied right now.
It will. So again, best of luck. And speaking of best of luck, we should also maybe extend our best wishes to Daniel Bryan, because, well, he got some not-so-good news concerning his condition. It appears that he will have to have a second surgery after all.
It appears that way. We've been talking about it for months. It's been since early May he got injured. Think about that. We're already in mid-October. It's been about 5 months now. It's a long time. That's a long time. He's already had one surgery, and he was fighting to come back without having a second surgery. And back in July or August, he was supposed to have the next surgery, but they put it off because they wanted to try a rehab instead, and he was all for it, and he wanted to do the surgery, but he was really wanted to do the rehab. As we've talked about on Total Divas Thrac Extra, go check it out. We had a whole long discussion about it on the show. And now it's going back to the report of he needs surgery, and it could be it's one of those surgeries where a lot could happen. One of the reported surgeries that could be done is the Tommy John surgery, and if you're a sports person out there, you know how long a Tommy John surgery takes to recover, especially if you're a pitcher.
Right.
And that could be up to a year. Not saying that's how long it would take Daniel Bryan, because he's not putting torque like a baseball player would. Like, it could be like 2 to 6 months or whatever. Just because with a pitcher, you're physically healthy, but you have to, you know, straighten the muscle, and with all the torque, it takes a while to come back.
It does.
Which means the one big thing coming out of it is the Royal Rumble. That's been the target from day one, after they realized he wasn't progressing as they had hoped, because the original diagnosis was 6 to 8 weeks after the one surgery.
It was.
Now the Royal Rumble is in question, which sucks.
It does really suck. I think everybody was hoping Bryan would come back and he would be the surprise entrant in the Rumble. And, you know, of course, we were also hoping he would be back in 6 to 8 weeks in time for SummerSlam as well. I think that's what everybody really wanted. And unfortunately, that didn't happen due to his condition. And we all got really hopeful that, well, you know, there was a chance he could recover in time for Survivor Series. And now that's clearly not going to happen. And then the hope went to the Royal Rumble. And now it seems to be shifting off the Rumble to possibly him doing something at WrestleMania.
Maybe.
If he's well enough at that point, and it would kind of really suck for Bryan, just because he would have been gone for almost a year at that point.
Something so minor is almost could turn into a full year of missing from the ring. That sucks.
In Bryan's case, that's not what you want, because right now they're shopping around for their next star, and they've got their eye heavily set on Roman Reigns. But it may be shifting to possibly Dean Ambrose, to Seth Rollins, to Bray Wyatt, to Luke Harper.
Anyone at this point is in line for that next push. And Daniel Bryan was riding the highest of highs for his career back at WrestleMania. And then it sort of all fell apart. And that's what being the business over a decade does to you. Your body just starts to go slow down.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's what's happened to Daniel Bryan. His body told him, slow down, because he does a lot in the ring. He takes a lot of punishment, he does a lot of big dives, and it always compounds the spine, especially when he dives out of the ring. And all the bumps he takes, it just wears down the neck, and every time you hear he's not regaining strength in his arm, that's scary.
That really is scary. You know, everybody, like I said, was hopeful the surgery would work, and I hope this surgery works. I hope this surgery fixes it. I know he and Bree don't view the surgery as necessarily the best option, but it may be, because it may finally fix it. But I think everybody's now starting to wonder, what if it doesn't work? What if he doesn't regain the strength in his arm? What if he's done? I mean, you know, we're sitting there watching Total Divas, and I know a lot of it is staged for TV. I understand that completely, before anybody yells at me for it. But we saw a very real, very scary moment with him where he lost, like, his nerve ending shot in his arm. And he almost lost control of it at one point.
And you can't really fake that. And it's scary. It's scary to believe, when we've talked about it on that show and on here, where it's like, what if he's lifting up a wrestler? and his arm gives out. Even with the surgery, it's not a guarantee. Nothing in life is a guarantee. And I just worry for Daniel Bryan. I really do.
I mean, and as he said on the show, he can't lift anything over 5 pounds. Or he's not supposed to.
Over his head. He can lift...
Over
his head. Nothing over his head 5 pounds. He can lift more than 5 pounds, but nothing over his head. It's... He's in a tough spot, and WWE's in a tough spot, and this would have... When they came out of WrestleMania, they made the decision. They were going with Daniel Bryan.
Mm-hmm.
And over the last 6 months, we've seen the trickle-down effect of when you rely... You have plans going in one direction, and people get injured.
Yep.
When you have one focus, because John Cena, believe it or not, probably was taking the number two spot for a while. He was
That's
gonna,
probably what he wanted.
He probably wanted to back off a little bit because SummerSlam was Daniel Bryan and Brock Lesnar. That was the plan. And it's just sort of like, okay, well, we're going to... The people want him. We'll give the people what they want. They want Daniel Bryan. We'll give them Daniel Bryan. And it just compounds to the fact that WWE is lacking the talent depth right now, where when guys like Daniel Bryan get hurt, and then Roman Reigns get hurt, there's no one left. And that's why the product suffers sometimes when you lose talent.
And you have to move people around, and some people end up with no one, and then those people just kind of sort of drift or get taken off TV, and yes, everybody knows who I'm talking about. So, it's an awkward situation all the way around, and it's getting to the point where I think a lot of people, like I said, are wondering when Bryan is going to return, if he returns.
And if he returns, the biggest question is, can WWE trust him?
Well, it's not. I don't think it's a matter of trust. I think trust is
trust him in terms of relying on him to be a top player because he could get injured again. Do they put the same focus that they did on him last year when he comes back?
It all depends on the reaction to him. That's the thing. I think a lot of people realize that the reason he got the push, if this is true, is because of the fan reaction, because it was so overwhelming that they could not ignore it. And so they just went ahead and did what the fans wanted, and they pushed Bryan, and they were going to push him hard, and then he got hurt. So the real question is Bryan going to get that same reaction when he comes back, especially with, like I said, other people starting to take over the spot as fan favorites, and that includes Dean Ambrose. Dean's getting over. He's getting over hardcore. There's no question of that whatsoever. And there could be, and like I said, there could be a very real possibility that you see Dean Ambrose get that push and run with it.
Yeah, and he really, yeah. Kane Kennedy brings up that someone, another former world champion, should return. Yeah, I don't see that particular person returning anytime soon.
Probably not.
But yeah, it's Dean Ambrose is the star, and right now he's getting reactions, but he's not getting those monstrous reactions just yet. But again, that's more of the show rather than him, because when he does first come out, he does get a pretty good reaction. It'll be interesting to see what he does and how he's positioned at Hell in a Cell, and if they're given the actual main event spot. And it'll be a test at Hell in a Cell for guys like Seth Rollins and Dean Ambrose, where they're put in a position to be the main event and carry a show, which they have not allowed many talents to do in a very long time.
Very true.
So, again, hopefully Daniel Bryan is able to recover from this, and hopefully this is not a setback that will put him out another year. He could be back for the Rumble. Again, he could, but by all indications, probably won't.
No, unfortunately. So best of luck to Daniel Bryan. Hope that's not the case. I hope he returns very soon and everything gets better. But you mentioned SummerSlam with Daniel Bryan, and just to kind of follow up, SummerSlam's location was announced, and it will be in the New York, New Jersey area. The venue has been revealed, and it's going to be held in the Izod Center.
The New Jersey Sports and Exposition Authority and WWE are proud to announce that WWE's biggest event of summer, SummerSlam, will take place at the Izod Center in East Rutherford, New Jersey, on Sunday, August 23rd, 2015. SummerSlam will feature the biggest stars of WWE in action. The event will broadcast around the world on WWE Network and pay-per-view. SummerSlam weekend will also feature a series of activities, including fan events, autograph signings, Be a Star anti-bully rallies, hospital visits, and other community outreach programs designed to leave a lasting impact throughout the region.
So, get your tickets when they become available. Go have fun, because SummerSlam is awesome.
Yeah, they're probably going to do some panels and, you know, fan events, and it's going to be a fun time. They're thinking of doing some stuff in New York, some stuff in New Jersey, in the whole area for the weekend, or at least for the weekend, maybe a few days beforehand. So go check it out. They were going to think about doing the Barclays Center, but they decided let's go to the Izod Center because that's.
It's a little bit easier.
A little bit easier, and for people wondering, why aren't they running Madison Square Garden? It's simple. It costs a lot of money to run Madison Square Garden, and if you run a pay-per-view or a television there, it costs a lot of money, because you won't make your money back. So instead of, that's why they only run a house show. They just run the house show to say, we're still here in New York. They usually lose money, but they want to say, we're still here in New York. But running TV and or pay-per-view, it's way too expensive to run at Madison Square Garden since they renovated it and jacked up the price.
Yeah. And, I mean, they did the Garden for the Hall of Fame simply because Hunter wanted to. They blew a lot of money when they were in New York, New Jersey for Mania. And they probably have a working deal with the Garden. But also, I think at this point, they don't necessarily view it as a big venue. For pay-per-view in particular, it's just probably not large enough for them at this stage when you think that they're selling 10 to 20,000 seat arenas. Because how many does the Garden hold? It only holds, like, what, 8 to 10?
No, it holds about 20.
Oh, it holds about 20?
Yeah, it's just way too expensive.
Okay, fair enough.
It's just way too expensive to run these days because they've renovated the whole outside and the whole building. So it's like, to cover those costs, we got to jack up the cost of running shows there. And since for the last, 5 years, they haven't run a major show there. I think the last major show was the one where The Rock showed up, 2011. So about 3 years. Survivor Series. That was the last time they ran in Madison Square Garden.
All I know is they were running the Garden the same time that they came out to Utah, and I got Luke and Eric, and Bray was in the Garden.
Yeah. They run the Garden house shows, but, you know.
Yeah, still bitter about that.
I know you are. I know you are.
Still bitter about that, but there's a chance the Wyatt family might not be breaking up, which makes me very happy.
There are rumors that they're not breaking up after all. We'll have to see, but that's sort of the rumor going around. So
please don't break them up.
She will be heartbroken if you break up her family, so please don't break up her family.
I want to adopt Eric. I'm just throwing that out there now. So if WWE is in the sound of my voice and Eric Rowan needs a good home, send him my way. I will give him a good home. He just has to learn how to clean, that's all.
So, you know, you brought up WrestleMania, right?
Right.
Well, they made a list.
They made a list?
WrestleMania made a list. In fact, they made the Forbes list for the first time. Forbes named WWE's pop culture extravaganza WrestleMania one of the most valuable sports brands worldwide. WrestleMania is included among the such sporting events as the Super Bowl, World Cup, and the Olympics. Forbes' ranking consists of the top 10 most valuable sports brands in each of the four categories: businesses, events, teams, and athletes. Forbes said the WrestleMania brand is worth $105 million, placing it 8th among sporting events. In April, WrestleMania 30th broke the record for the Mercedes-Benz Superdome's highest grossing of entertainment event, making the 5th consecutive year WrestleMania broke the host venue's single-day revenue record. You can check out Forbes.com for more information. And, you know, they're looking to break the record one more year next year at WrestleMania 31 in Santa Clara.
Well, if the rumors are true, they may do it, but we'll have to see.
Yeah.
But also just a couple quick show notes. Tribute to the Troops, the location and date have been revealed. The 2014 Tribute to the Troops will be filmed on Tuesday, December 9th in the Columbus Civic Center in Columbus, Georgia. I believe tickets have already gone on sale, or they will be going on sale shortly.
They'll be going on sale shortly, and that will also be a SmackDown taping, so it's a Tribute to the Troops / SmackDown taping for that event, and it'll air at the end of December on NBC.
I wish I could go. That'd be awesome.
I believe it's the 27th on NBC.
Yeah. Also, the next NXT special has been announced.
That will take place on December 11th from Full Sail University, which is kind of cool. I like their big events. They put out a promotional image, and it had some interesting superstars on it.
Oh, did it now?
Including Hideo Itami. Formerly known as Prince Devitt. Can't remember what the name they gave him for WWE. Sami Zayn, Adrian Neville, Triple H, and right now what he's being called, Kevin Steen.
So is Kevin Steen going to make his debut soon?
It seems like Kevin Steen could possibly be making his debut at NXT, the next NXT Live special. Which is cool. I love their specials. They're really awesome on the WWE Network for only $9.99. Because the three so far, Arrival and the two takeovers, have been outstanding.
Oh, yeah.
So the next one, the last one for the year, will be in December, on December 11th. And then the next rumor after that, WrestleMania weekend.
I'm okay with this.
They may do.
I'm totally okay with this.
There's talk of doing one during WrestleMania weekend, maybe at WrestleMania Access or in a venue around WrestleMania Access.
That would be fun.
That would be kind of cool. I don't think you could do it exactly at Access unless you set up some sort of real setup, but you probably get a building around that area and set up a ring.
You could probably, if you wanted to, do a special deal where if you wanted to do the pay-per-view live from Access, because of the way that they do it, they actually could do a legit setup there, because they usually do hold it in, they've held it now either in like a gigantic civic center or in an arena. I know it was held in an arena for New York, New Jersey, and I think it was held in an arena for 30 as well. So, and because of the way that they do it, there is enough room around a ring that they could actually set it up.
They could
as a proper.
Yeah, they could. They could. There's many ways to do it. I don't know logistics with everything else around it. Get it set up the proper.
Well, Access I think shuts down at like 8 or 9. So you could just do it if you wanted to. You could do it. Let's see, they are right now live on Thursdays.
For the moment.
For the moment, so if you don't move that.
If you don't move that, but they probably will be.
Well, if you do, I mean, it's something of if you wanted to do it.
You probably do it on a Friday, maybe. Or even you could even stretch it out to the Wednesday, the night before Access, and set it up that way.
Yeah, because you could just set it up and then set up Access for that Thursday, because Access doesn't open until the Thursday afternoon usually.
Right.
Or just delay it to Friday.
Right.
And so
they also have a ring.
It.
Yeah, they always have a ring set up, so that's not getting the ring there is not the issue. It's just setting them out enough seats where you can make it feel like it's a live event.
Yes. Absolutely, but that would be cool to see.
That's very intriguing to me if they can pull something like that off.
It would be, and they're pulling something else off too, because interesting announcement came out to WWE Network subscribers for only $9.99. Gotta get that plug in. They will now be airing limited commercials. In fact, I saw one this afternoon as I was stuck in traffic and listening to NXT on my way home. Mm-hmm. So and this is something we had actually talked about before the network aired, before it actually started, of them doing little mini commercial breaks for sponsors in particular to help generate more income for the network. And now this is starting. So this isn't a huge surprise that they're doing this, because this is just another way that they can get their sponsors in front of their audience.
And it's really no big deal. Because I was looking through a lot of videos today on the WWE Network, and I got one advertisement at the start of one video. So it's not all videos will show it. It's like, I think, one out of every eight or one out of every four, you will eventually get an ad at the start of a video, which is fine. It's a quick 30-second ad. And then they'll probably throw in ads like they do for their current ads. You'll just take a place of a current WWE promotional ad in there, which is fine. It's you got to make some money, and, you know, basically it's paid $9.99 a month for commercials. You're not really paying $9.99 for commercials. You're paying for quick 30-second spots.
It's really kind of comparable to, I would say, any other video streaming site, say Hulu or Netflix, only less invasive at this point.
Right, and if they start, you know, going where we're going to interrupt your show with an ad, they'll never do that.
Because,
like Hulu is terrible, because every time you fast forward through Hulu, they give you a 30-second ad. It's terrible.
I hate that.
It's terrible. That's why I can't use Hulu. And they charge you about $10, $11 a month, especially for Hulu Plus. And you get ads all the time. And this is just simple 30-second ads. Everyone can deal with a 30-second ad. There should be really no major outcry for it.
No, I mean, it's just, it's very comparable to, like I said, what other people do. Shouldn't be a problem. I had one. Didn't bother me at all. It was like 15 seconds or something like that, and it's like, oh, okay, whatever.
Yeah, I had a phone commercial for 30 seconds. It's like, all right, whatever. It's not a problem. If it happens all the time, then that's where you go, I'm not paying $9.99 for commercials. But at this point, they're gonna throw in a commercial here and there, and it'll be fine. You know, if Mace points out mid-roll commercials, if they start doing that, then you got in trouble. But they've never said that from the beginning. They would never do that. They said there's a chance there would be limited commercials during the show.
Yeah. And this was pretty expected by us. I think we called it before the network ever showed up.
Yeah, and it makes sense, especially when the company's losing a lot of money. They're going and throwing this out there, and if more people subscribe, probably less ads on the network.
Very true. So, everybody subscribe, because then we'll keep the ads off the network. Just saying.
Yeah.
And lastly, but certainly not least, we have WWE 2K15 in news. More details have been announced concerning the DLC, and, well, the soundtrack has been announced.
Yeah, John Cena has put together the soundtrack. He's even featured on two songs as well. He got back in the studio, recorded a couple of songs. What was his name? Wiz something?
Wiz Khalif.
Wiz Khalif, thank you. He did a couple songs with him. There's about 10 tracks. You look at all the 2K games, LeBron James has played a big part in the NBA 2K 14 or 15 soundtrack. In years past, people like Jay-Z have gotten involved picking the soundtrack for video games. So John Cena right up there, they get the cover guy, big involved with it, picking out the music. It's kind of cool, and John Cena, you know, did a couple songs. You know, hopefully they're decent.
I heard one of them on the commercial for it.
I said hopefully they're decent.
Yeah, it's not decent.
But there's other 2K15 news. First, to point out that when the game comes out in late November, Mace will be doing the opening of the Hulkamania edition, and he will also be doing some videos on the Twitch channel, and he'll be putting it on the YouTube page as well. So keep an eye out. Check out Mace on Twitter at the Mace Thing. He'll give you updates on when that's all happening.
But absolutely, check it out. It'll be awesome.
But as we talked about last week, the season pass was announced. We're at $24.99, unlocked page, and a whole bunch of other things. Well, now a lot of the other things have been announced, including the accelerator, which will gain access to all the unlockable content available in the game, excluding, you know, the downloadable content. The accelerator will be available for only $1.99. Then you have the showcase modes. One more match will feature Randy Orton and Christian from 2011. You'll get people like Orton, Christian, Edge, Mark Henry, and Sheamus as playable people. Arena SmackDown 2011, Extreme Rules, Over the Limit, and Capital Punishment. And that one, again, if you buy it separately, it's the price of the network, $9.99. You have Hall of Pain with Mark Henry, Mark Henry, Big Show, Kane, The Usos, Sheamus, Great Khali, Randy Orton, Daniel Bryan, and Ryback. You get Vengeance in WrestleMania 29. You get Path of the Warrior, which focuses on the Hall of Fame career of Ultimate Warrior. You'll get Hall of Famers like Ultimate Warrior, Hulk Hogan, Andre the Giant, Sergeant Slaughter, plus legends, Honky Tonk Man, Rick Rude, Macho King, and Colonel Mustafa, along with The Undertaker and Hunter Hearst Helmsley from that era. You also have Howard Finkel, managers Jimmy Hart, Bobby Heenan, Paul Bearer. Sherry makes her debut in the game. Sid Justice and General Anon. You'll get WrestleMania 6, 8, WrestleMania 6, 7, and 12. SummerSlam 88, 90, and 91 arena. Saturday Night's Main Event 24. And Madison Square Garden actually makes an arena debut in the game as well, which is kind of cool. So stop right there for a second. Those are three cool stories.
What are three cool stories?
The ones I just mentioned, the Warrior, the Christian, and the Mark Henry. They're cool.
Oh, yeah. Those are cool.
Yeah, you also get the WCW guys, Fit Finley, Lord Steven Regal, Bam Bam Bigelow, DDP, and Lex Luger. I'm kind of cool. It's Regal and Finley are in there together. You get NXT Arrival, JBL, Adam Rose, and Ascension. Playable Diva Emma. Probably the NXT arena as well. And you'll get also a new moves pack, more than 30 new moves, including an alternate version of Sister Abigail, which performed from the ring corner and made popular by some Bray Wyatt guy, and multiple gut-red suplexes made popular by Cesaro.
I just want to see him mo-capping that so bad.
I know you do. I know.
He'll look like a deranged Christmas tree. It'd be awesome. But yeah, it sounds like the DLC pack's going to be really loaded this year and really cool. So if you're into that kind of thing, or if you're just not sure about buying it, check out Mace when he does his little, his Twitch thing. I don't know how else to describe it because it's just awesome and cool, and I get to sit there and watch him play video games, which is amazing. Because I have no skill for that whatsoever. And he's so good at it.
You know what I found the other day?
What?
The Wii instructions for WrestleMania, for WWE 2K13.
I actually just deleted those off my hard drive.
I found them in a folder yesterday. Oh, the times that were.
Yes, him being on the phone with me, where I'm like, okay, I fell out of the ring. What do I do? Look it up.
How do I get back in the ring was the biggest question.
Yeah, that was an actual me sitting there yelling at him, that at him.
Yeah.
So, me maybe getting the game, probably not a good idea.
No, it'll be a tremendous idea. We'll have to work on it.
Yeah, we will totally have to work on it. But, on that note, I say we take our first break of the evening, and when we return, we are going to be talking to the one, the only, the big red machine himself, Kane. So you don't want to miss it. So you're listening to The Rock right here on WildTalkRadio.com, and we will be right back.
Calling all pro wrestling fans, don't forget to check out PWMania.com. Again, the web address is PWMania.com. It's the best place on the internet today to get your late-breaking pro wrestling news and spoilers. We also have exclusive interviews, exclusive live results coverage of pay-per-views, rare photos, videos, divas, knockouts, and more. Exclusive writers, pro wrestler columns as well, where you can get a real insider's view of the world of professional wrestling. Bookmark it today, right now. It is PWMania.com.
Hello. and about when your favorite WTR program is on the air? Don't worry, we've got you covered. You can listen to WTR on the go with TuneIn Radio. Just download the TuneIn Radio app for your Android or iPhone, iPad or tablet, and search for Wild Talk Radio Network. Best of all, it's free. What are you waiting for? Download the TuneIn Radio app today. Tune in to WTR, wherever you are.
Hey, did you know that CB Radio is all over social media? Well, now you do, bitch asses. We are all over Facebook and Twitter. When it comes to Facebook, it's simple. Just go to facebook.com/cigarettebuttsandbandanas. All one word. It's not that difficult. Go ahead, enter it in your website address, fucking go to it, even search for it if you're really that lazy. Go to Facebook, search up at the top cigarette butts and bandanas. You know, it's not that difficult to find us and like us. Come on, you listen to us every week. Just fucking give us a like. We're all over Twitter, too. Every single one of us is on Twitter. You can follow the show at CB Radio WTR. That's the letter I, you know, Q-R-S. I just can't pronounce it. You know, I'm from Boston. Suit my bitches. After you follow the show, be sure to follow me, the Boston badass himself, at Mr. Chris Loesch. L-O-E-S-C-H. All one word. That's in case you didn't know how to spell my last name. You can follow Rob Pox, you know, the godfather of extreme, at CB Radio G-O-E. And you can even follow Subway, who actually has got Twitter. He has a smartphone now and is on Twitter. So you can follow him, and hopefully he makes a little bit more sense there than he does on air, at X-Core Subway. Not that difficult, was it, people? Now stay a part of the fun and excitement that happens off the air, just as well as you do on the air, every Saturday night at midnight-ish, live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
There is only one place to go for all the latest wrestling action figure reviews, and that's Wrestling Figure Wednesday, with new episodes every Wednesday and Friday. Wrestling Figure Wednesday provides you with some of the most intricate reviews of the latest wrestling action figures from both WWE and TNA. And if that's not enough, look out for some exclusive wrestling action figure reviews that you won't see anywhere else. The only place to find these wrestling action figure reviews is at youtube.com/MBG1211.
Hey gang, this is Tara, formerly known as Victoria from WWE, and I just want to say Matt Goldberg is a genius.
Make sure you check out Wrestling Figure Wednesdays today.
Every Monday night, get caught up with everything that happens on Monday Night Raw with the Raw Post Show.
It's boots to asses time.
From the big returns.
You gotta be kidding me! I see a ghost in Jarvis! Jake the Snake Roberts! What on earth? I've got chills out of here!
To the shocking moments.
In case you haven't figured it out yet, what I do better than anybody is adapt. Last night was plan A. Tonight, plan B. There's always a plan B.
Oh my God! Are you kidding me? Rollins down! He just dropped the Ambrose after he took out Reigns!
And the moments that leave you speechless.
He's got the whole world in his hands. He's got the whole wide world in his hands. He's got the whole
It's the Raw Post Show, Monday nights, live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Do you feel a little bit empty inside after The Rack goes off the air on Thursday nights? Well, don't fret, because The Rack has a little something extra for you, in the form of The Rack Extra. Join us as we review the weekly happenings with your favorite Total Divas. From start to finish, we give you our reactions to all the relationship drama, the infighting, and all the trips to the plastic surgeon's office. Join us as we get all up in that Kool-Aid of the Total Divas with The Rack Extra, weekly right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Trust me, it's simply thebomb.com.
You think you know me?
Hey, this is Adam Copeland, a.k.a. the Rated R Superstar, a.k.a. Dwight Hendrickson from Haven, and you are listening to The Rack.
Welcome back to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, brought to you by our friends over at Wrestling Figure Wednesdays. Go to YouTube.com/MBG1211 for all your wrestling stop-motion action figure needs. It's getting longer every week.
It sort of is.
But, you know what? What's not getting longer?
What's that?
Is the wait. Because the wait, ladies and gentlemen, is over. Joining us right now, one of the all-time greatest superstars in WWE history, whether he's been the Devil's Favorite Demon or the Big Red Machine, or now as he reprises his role as Jacob Goodnight in See No Evil 2, which, by the way, is available this Friday for digital download and next Tuesday on Blu-ray and DVD. Please welcome Kane. How are you?
I'm great. How are you guys?
Doing just fine. So
thank you for that. Thank you for that wonderful introduction. That's very nice.
Well, you're more than welcome. We're happy to have you on the show, and we're big fans of yours. I'm not ashamed to admit that.
Yeah, well, thanks.
So I have to know, you know, like I said in the intro, you're reprising your role as Jacob Goodnight in See No Evil 2. You know, what can we expect from him this go-round?
Well, this is going to be a little bit different than See No Evil. The girls that directed this movie are twins, Sylvia and Jen Tosca, and they have a huge following in the horror genre, and they're going to be the next big thing in horror. So what's really interesting about See No Evil 2, for me, I just got to see the finished copy the other day, is the fact that despite the movie is, you know, dealing with some disturbing material, it's a beautifully shot movie. It's beautiful. You know, the cinematography is awesome, and the soundtrack is great, and it's really a contrast because you are dealing with, this disturbing material and violence and everything, but you're also sitting there going, wow, this is really pretty. So, what we tried to do also as well was to bring more depth to the characters, and to actually have, not your stereotypical slasher movie, but to make it a movie where you cared about the people in the movie, and hopefully that brings about more emotional involvement, not just the visual effects, but the fact that you're like, oh, I really like that person, and it also hopefully makes it a little more scary that way.
Well, I hope so. So did you get a little bit more creative freedom in bringing Jacob Goodnight back to life this time?
I guess I did, actually. Yes. There were a couple scenes that were added to the movie that weren't in the original script that me and the Soskas really fought for that sort of round Jacob out, bring him more to life and make him more of a human being and a character. And I was really happy about that.
So we're going to get to see more maybe of his past and his backstory and kind of understand him a little bit more.
Exactly, yes. He still explored the relationship with his mother, even despite the fact that his mother is no longer with us, she still has a tremendous impact on his psychology and on his, on his emotions. In fact, in the first movie, in See No Evil, the mother was the real villain, not Jacob. And,
right.
In this one, she still is the dominant aspect of his life.
Right. Because he's still kind of reeling from her death, because this picks up, I believe, directly after the events in the first movie, doesn't it? So he's still kind of adjusting from...
That's a nice way of putting it.
Well,
I like that.
I'm trying not to give spoilers away for anybody that hasn't seen the movie because, I know it's 8 years after the fact, but, you don't want to give it away for somebody who's maybe seeing it for the first time because you don't want to break that for them. So.
Yeah, and what's cool about this, too, but what's cool about See No Evil 2 is it's a standalone movie. You don't actually have to see No Evil to understand what's going on in See No Evil 2.
That's pretty cool. So do you have a favorite moment from the film?
Yes, I do, but I can't share it until after it's released.
Aw.
Sorry, I know.
Bummer. So, you mentioned that you got to work with the wonderful Soska sisters, and what was it like for you working with female directors on the film?
Oh, we meshed really well, because they're not your typical females. You know, they're huge WWE fans, and, you know, they're probably into all the stuff that us guys are into. So, yeah, they were great. And what's really interesting about working with them is, despite the fact that they're two people, at times it seemed like you're dealing with one mind.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, one of the, Jen would often be on the floor doing the direction of the action, and Sylvia would be watching on the monitor, and you'd go through a scene and there'd be tweaks, and they wouldn't talk to each other. Jen would just tell you what to do differently, and then you'd do the scene again, and Sylvia'd be like, okay, that's good. And it's like, wait a second, you know, how, you know, do they see through each other's eyes here? What's going on? So at first, I was a little worried, okay, how are you going to work with two directors, you know, because the director is the boss, and that's the person that has the final say in what's going on, and how are you going to do it if there's two of them? But what was really cool about it is it was still like you were sort of working with one, and instead of competing or butting heads, they actually augmented one another. So it was really an awesome experience.
Awesome. I joke with my producer because we do that sometimes where we call it one brain, and that's
yeah. We have this thing where we just read each other's minds. It's like, boom, you want to go this way? We go this way, and we go from there.
It's kind of terrifying. So transitioning away from See No Evil for a moment, Jacob Goodnight is a part of your personality, or rather, he's a character that you portrayed in recent years. With that, we've also seen your character Kane evolve over the last few years from being the Demon Kane to working with Daniel Bryan and Team Hell No, which was awesome, by the way. And now you're in more of a corporate role. Are you enjoying exploring those different aspects of your personality?
No, absolutely. I'm having a lot of fun. The Team Hell No stuff with Daniel Bryan is probably the most fun that I've ever had in WWE because it was completely different than anything I'd ever done before. You know, and I'd always been, you know, a very dark, serious character. And then here we are providing, you know, the comic relief to the show. So, you know, if you'd ask people before we did Team Hell No, you know, that Kane is going to be the guy you're laughing at, who would have said yes, right? So, yeah, that was a lot of fun. And then with the Authority now and, you know, corporate Kane, it's also very gratifying for me because, you know, now he's just sort of a normal person, but underneath it, you know, you have that, you always have that underlying, you know, the guy's a monster. And
right.
now he has political power as well, which is really scary. I have a lot of fun doing different things because frankly, as a performer, it gets stale when you're just doing one thing and, you know, that's what you're doing and, you know, for years and years and years. So,
right.
I'm grateful for the opportunity to be able to do different characters.
Absolutely. And kind of tying into that is also kind of working with some of the newer talent that is coming up from NXT and coming onto the roster. And you've had the chance to work with The Shield, including Seth Rollins and The Authority, and you got to help with Bray Wyatt's debut last year. What do you think of the newer crop of superstars that are coming up?
I think they're going to be great. I think they're great now. You know, they provide a lot of energy, new ideas. You know, they're hungry. The thing about that I noticed when I was working against The Shield, Dean Ambrose, Seth Rollins, and Roman Reigns, is the fact that those guys were really confident. It was like they knew that they were going to be successful no matter what it took. And, you know, that's the attitude you need. So, yeah, I really enjoy working with the younger guys, you know, because they have that freshness and that hunger, you know, that sort of actually revitalizes me at times.
Right. Are you looking forward to potentially what they're going to do, especially moving forward towards Hell in a Cell, especially with Dean Ambrose and Seth Rollins?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. There's all sorts of different dynamics going on now, too, and that's what makes our product really interesting, is when it's not straightforward, but there's all sorts of different things going on between everybody, and that's what's going on now. So, yeah, I think moving forward through Hell in a Cell and afterwards can be quite interesting.
So, with Hell in a Cell approaching, and it's in less than 2 weeks, and you also made your debut during Hell in a Cell, the first one, I should say, do you have any favorite moments from either that particular match or from the pay-per-view itself?
Well, my favorite had to be, of course, my debut. and ripping the door off and, you know, going in and giving a tombstone pile driver to The Undertaker and, having Vince screaming, that's got to be Kane. that would be far and away my favorite moment.
What, besides your debut, is there anything else that sticks out?
Okay, darn. even though it wasn't, Hell in a Cell pay-per-view, I'll never forget the match between Undertaker and Mankind at King of the Ring in Pittsburgh. When Nick went off the cell and then through the cell, and that was one of those things I think that sort of rocketed the Attitude Era into the stratosphere.
Yeah, it really did. And if people haven't seen it, they can check it out on the WWE Network for, only $9.99.
Yeah, for only $9.99.
How to get that plug in there for you.
Thanks.
So I know you're a busy guy. We just have a couple more questions for you. They're kind of our stock standards, and we're curious to know, because I'm not going to say that you have a lot of odd fans, but you have a lot of interesting fans, just having met some of them. So I'm curious to know, what would be the weirdest thing that a fan has ever given you?
Oh, I haven't really gotten a whole lot of weird stuff. I get stuffed animals, which is different. But probably the weirdest thing that's ever happened, or the most uncomfortable thing that's ever happened, was I received a fan letter at my house. And it was really, really nice. It was from a gentleman who was interested in promoting drug awareness and gang resistance and that sort of thing. So it was really great, except for the fact that he was going to do that once he got out of prison. And, yeah, the letter had come from prison somewhere. And I'm like, oh, okay, that's, yeah.
Yeah, I can understand
that.
That would be a little freaky. That's kind of okay. Yeah. Lock the doors and hide.
Yeah.
Because you don't know what's
going on. I don't get a whole lot of really weird stuff. So.
Well, that's a good thing. Definitely a good thing. So, and of course, one last final question, which is, again, stock standard for us. What do you like to do on your day off?
On my day off, I like to rest as much as I can. we just opened up a business, so I do that a lot. And as a small business person, you find out if that job never ends. So I just like to rest and recuperate as much as I can.
Once again, Kane, thank you so much for joining us.
Oh, thank you guys. I appreciate it. Have a good time.
Everyone remember, See No Evil 2 is available this Friday for digital download, and it's going to be out next Tuesday on Blu-ray and DVD. But stay tuned, because we have lots more for you. So you're listening to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, and we will be right back.
The evolution of online sports entertainment begins again on Sunday nights when you step into the ring with WrestleTalk Radio. Covering all the latest in the WWE, TNA, and the indie scene. Plus, providing you with the most comprehensive coverage of every WWE and TNA pay-per-view. Join Wrestle Talk Radio every Sunday night, live only on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Can't catch a WTR program live? Well, we've got three easy ways for you to listen whenever you want. First, listen to the Wild Talk Radio Network on iTunes. Just head over to iTunes and search for Wild Talk Radio Network and subscribe to our feed. Secondly, download the Stitcher Radio app and search for Wild Talk Radio Network. And finally, just visit the archive section right here at wildtalkradio.com and you can download every single episode of all your favorite programs. Best of all, it's free. Keep up to date and spread the word to your friends on how you can be part of the Wild Talk Radio Network listening experience.
Looking for the latest in all things TNA wrestling? Then look no further than TNAsylum.com. TNAsylum keeps you up to date on all the happenings in TNA wrestling, along with featured columns, full coverage of TNA-related events, and a first look on the behind-the-scenes events of TNA that you can't find anywhere else. Log on right now to the haven for TNA fans, TNAsylum.com. Looking for one of the most popular stop-motion animation wrestling shows on the internet today? Then check out Crash Collision Wrestling, created by the one and only Matt Goldberg. He's the director of Terrified and Pope Against All Odds. CCW is a stop-motion animation series featuring WWE and TNA stars, and it also happens to be endorsed by the likes of Elijah Burke, Hulk Hogan, and TNA Knockout Tara.
This is Tara from Impact Wrestling, and for the number one animated wrestling show, make sure you check out Crash Collision Wrestling, or else get slammed by moi.
Check out the show by logging on to youtube.com/mbg1211, and don't forget to like Crash Collision Wrestling on Facebook. Once again, check out Crash Collision Wrestling today.
Because everybody knows, much like Pope, CCW, it's pimping.
You never know what will happen when you tune in to CB Radio.
The first award was crowd participation. Your choices were Fandangoing, yes, let's go Cena, Cena sucks, and what's up? Sub, what's your pick?
I think I picked Cena sucks.
No, you didn't.
What was it? Gonna be great.
Great. I love these picks.
Sub, you picked yes, yes, yes.
Oh, yeah, Daniel O'Brien.
Yeah!
Why didn't I hear that? You didn't say that.
Yes, I did.
Yes.
And that was the one that won. Got that right.
Sure. Holy shit.
But because you changed your pick...
No, I didn't hear the option of Daniel O'Brien yet, just yet. The guy's magical. He's a magical little guy.
The LOL moment of the year. Your choices were the Great Khali and Jinder Mahal try to snake charm Santana's Cobra.
You know, when you say it like that, that sounds so wrong.
I know. So
I'm going to say I went with the first one where they try to tame the Cobra.
No, you didn't.
What did he say?
He said he took the snake charmer. No. No.
Well, see, that's what I figured I would go with.
That's what Rob picked. You picked Titus O'Neil throwing up. You were wrong. It was the Rock concert.
Jesus, I was way off there.
Insult of the year, Sub.
Fuck, I have no idea what I went with. I'm going to go with the Big Show and Stephanie.
Congratulations, you picked the winning one. Today.
Yeah.
Today.
Can I trade in the ones when I like get a wrong bop them? Do I trade two of them in for a win?
Diva of the year.
I'll go with the Funkadactyl trick. No, because I know it was AJ Lee. Do I want to win now?
Hold on.
Or do I stick to my gun?
So which one are you picking?
Funkadactyl.
Alright, so you picked AJ last week. You picked the Funkadactyls this week. Ace and Crispy picked AJ. That's all wrong. Rob picked the Bella Twins, and the Bella Twins won the award.
Suck it, bitches.
When you calculate everyone's pick, CB Radio and WTR pick. Subway, you were 500. You were 4-4.
You did the best out of everybody.
Oh,
dude.
My God.
Wow.
Oh, my God. Wait.
Down.
I think my mind, my head just exploded. I'm done. I'm
thinking something disconnected from my brain. I ain't taking calls, so I came to kick ass tonight.
Tune in to CB Radio, Saturdays, midnight Eastern Time, on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
This is Kane from WWE, and you're listening to The Rack on Wild Talk Radio.
Here on WildTalkRadio.com, brought to you by our friends over at Wrestling Figure Wednesdays. Go to YouTube.com/MBG1211 for all your stop-motion action figure needs, wrestling action figure needs. And, you know, that was just so amazing. I hope everybody liked our interview with Kane. I know I had a blast. I know Rock had a blast. Hopefully he had a blast. And
yeah, he had a blast. And it was a fun interview, fun time. Bucket list is accomplished for that one. And before she even says it, one day.
For Taker or Boo Boo?
One day.
But yeah, it's kind of funny because when we found out about this, it was a holy crap moment for me, because when we started this show 2.5 years ago, it was one of those we'll never get Kane moments. You know, we wanted Kane. We wanted him so bad. We wanted to get him on the show. He was a bucket list. He was, you know, it's that whole, I really want to talk to him, because the bucket list honestly isn't that long. And
well, it's grown over the years.
It's grown over the years, but let's see, the original three were what? Kane, Stevie Richards, and RVD?
Val Venus. We've had one of those three.
Had one of those three, and we got Kane. So, but yeah, it's just kind of cool, because when we started, it was like, oh yeah, you know, we'd totally love to get Kane, but we'll never get him. We'll never, ever get him, because he was so impossible. And it was like when he picked up, or when we talked to him yesterday, it's like, holy crap, this is really happening. So that was pretty cool.
It was a pretty cool moment. Hopefully everyone enjoyed it, and, you know, it was Kane.
It was Kane. The Kane fangirl got to talk to Kane. I'm pretty happy about that. And yes, before anybody asks, I held in my squee. I did a good job. I waited until after he was off the phone, and I almost passed out when he picked up the phone, because I thought my heart was going to, like, just jump out of my chest.
And with that,
Tweet of the Week!
To be the kind of person spending time on my space, until the spammers ended up taking over my place, and I was so bitter, until I found Twitter. Ooh, a place where you can go ahead and write what you're feeling. 140 characters or less is what you're giving. My addiction starts to climb. I go to refresh my timeline, 'cause I won't stop tweeting. No more, no more. It cannot wait, I'm sure.
So last week was the epic saga of Dolph's bag. This week it's just AJ Lee. So, for AJ, she says the following. 40 plus hours of flying with a wicked cold the whole trip, because I was probably a real D-bag in a past life. I don't play well with others. Very true. I just saw a rental car advertisement that said, put your junk in our trunk, and now I'm uncomfortable. Batman, lastly, decorating the office with the Joker's skinned face. You know, the usual.
Oh, AJ. We heart you.
We do.
By the way, it's 27-19, the New England Patriots up on the New York football Jets at the moment.
Beat the Jets.
In the fourth quarter. Fake Sports Center goes, the Buccaneers are on pace to lose 112-0. Hashtag not fake Sports Center. Which is kind of true, they were on pace for a while. Mike Hill, if there was a mercy rule in the NFL, it would be in full effect in Tampa right now. 35-0 Ravens in second quarter. That was at the end of the first quarter, that's what it was. Sports Nation, Raiders and Jaguars both came so close to winning a game. But they don't because they're the Raiders and the Jaguars. Not Bill Walton. Tony Romo scrambles and makes clutch plays. Russell Wilson chokes and throws a pick. What is this? Trading places? ProWrestling.net. If I've learned anything this football season, it's that Kid Rock was born free. Yeah, that's very true. Fake ESPN. Cowboys have reportedly purchased Seahawks bandwagon from used car lot and repainted it blue, silver, and white. Because, you know, everybody is jumping on the Cowboys bandwagon.
Totally.
We here at The Rack are not. Just pointing that out.
Falcons are do or die, baby. Do or die.
Touchdown Jets.
Boo.
They can hit the two. Tie ball game. Rob Schomburger. After a year of promotional vignettes, Chrisley finally debuts tonight. Hashtag Raw. Corey Graves. That creepy transition from Renee Young WWE's face to Tom Phillips WWE's will haunt many dreams tonight. Hashtag Raw. It was kind of a creepy transition. Not gonna lie. Tommy Dreamer, I just ate Greek yogurt that expired on October 2nd. Late night snacking gone wrong. Tasted weird, but maybe I found an Ebola cure. Maybe, Tommy. Maybe. And they did not get the 2-point conversion, so they're down 2 at the moment. Not Bill Walton, hashtag awful pumpkin products. Pumpkin spice Jets tickets. Actually, any Jets ticket would be awful. Ouch. And finally, hashtag Halloween costume from Not Bill Walton. Tim Tebow will dress up as an NFL quarterback. It's always fun to go with something you can never be the other 364 days a year. And that's Tweet of the Week.
And now we're going to talk all about tonight's exciting NXT, and this was exciting.
It was kind of exciting tonight, and it started off with, if you blinked, you missed it. Baron Corbin versus Samson. Like, 10 seconds in, end of days. Bam.
Yep.
Over. Done with. Baron Corbin wins. His entrance was longer than the match. Like, wow. His entrance was kind of cool. This was the first time we've seen like a real full entrance for him. And it's very slow and it has that eerie feel to it a little bit with the lights and everything. He's building a character. I don't know how successful the character will be in general long term. Because I don't know if that look will work to him for a mass appeal.
But I think it'll work initially, but it's something that he's going to have to learn how to evolve it and evolve the character. And at some point, he's going to have to talk.
Yeah, he has to develop the character, but he's coming up with the look. And this is what development is for. You start with a look, and then you branch out the character from there. And I hope they have an idea to branch the character out. Right now, he's got sort of a look. It may work, it may not. Again, you can compare it to different people. You know, he's sort of a CM Punk, Undertaker, sort of twisted mix a little bit. I guess that's a good way to put it a little bit.
Is he the bastard love child of Punky and Taker?
Possibly. If you think about it, He has sort
There's
of
a lot of bastard love children in NXT. I'm just realizing this.
Yeah, there really are.
Because there's the Wyatt love child, and now we have the Punk Taker love child.
But am I wrong by saying he has that sort of mix together? Like the slow entrance and the tattoos for Punk and it just...
Tattoos for Taker, too. I think it's he kind of reminds me a lot, and I think this is, you know, obviously intentional, is that he's sort of styled the more American badass is what it sort of references or what makes you think of it, because it's the biker vest. They kind of show him on a motorcycle in some promos. It's that whole vibe. I think it's also probably playing off of Sons of Anarchy a little bit. That's really kind of what it is. So it will be interesting to see if and where this character goes.
And also, we're going to have to see the character actually wrestle a little bit beyond the quick little finish. Again,
yeah.
This is early. He should not be, there should be no thought of bringing him up for at least another year. I'm just throwing that out there. At least a year.
No.
And if he's up faster than that, then they see something Ryback-ish in him, and they should not. Just gonna throw that out there.
No, they're gonna probably work on him a little bit more. There's a long list of people ahead of him, so yeah, I don't think he's gonna show up.
So that was the opener. We then had Sami Zayn in the ring.
Well, I appreciate that. You know, the reason I'm coming out here is because last week I lost to Titus O'Neil. Nah, I lost fair and square, and I gotta be honest, I'm a little sick of that. I'm a little sick of just coming out here and saying that I'm losing fair and square. I'm better than that. I know I'm better than that. And I've proven it time and time again in this building in front of you people. Now it's time for Sami Zayn to refocus and go after the one thing that's eluded me since I've been here, and that's becoming the NXT champion.
Sammy, it's time for you to start facing facts. And the fact is, you will never be NXT champion. Any chance you have, you squander. Every opportunity, you drop the ball. And now you're going to come out here, you're going to lie not only to me, but you're going to lie to the NXT universe, my people. And you're going to pretend that you're going to turn your career of being a loser around, and all of a sudden today, for some reason, begins the era of Sami Zayn actually winning?
You know, Tyson, I have no problem with you coming out here and interrupting me and cutting that little rant on me. I just have one question, though. Did you get Natty's permission before coming out here? Why don't you go back home and cry yourself to sleep like you do every night while you're watching yourself on reruns of Total Divas?
Oh, sick burn, Sammy. But you know what? I would rather be on Total Divas than be a total loser like you. Hey, sure you're going to get moral victories. You're going to win matches here and there. But anytime you get close to the top of the mountain, you fall off. Hey, let's take last week, for example. Titus O'Neil versus Sami Zayn. What happened? You lost again. You know what, Sammy? Maybe, just maybe, you're not good enough to be here. But don't worry, there's hope for you. You can go, you can make some cash selling these sweet t-shirts. Or maybe you can sell pictures of yourself losing to other famous superstars. You are the most pathetic person I've met in my entire life.
Tyson, I'll tell you what, you keep talking about the past a whole lot. I don't live in the past. I live in the now. And the now begins Sami Zayn's road to redemption. And I'm not only good enough to be here, I'm good enough to beat you. And I will prove it tonight. So I'll tell you what, go back there and go borrow Tyler Breeze's cell phone so that you can call Natty and make sure that's okay, all right?
Why would Tyler Breeze have Natty's number? It's ridiculous. You know what? This isn't about my wife. And as long as Regal's fine with it, you know I am. But I have to go make a few phone calls. I have to check on my cats. So later tonight, I'll see you in this ring. And the Sami Zayn road to redemption hits a roadblock. Fact.
So there's a little bit of awkwardness, like where he mentioned his cats. It's like Tyson Kidd came out in this promo and sort of played two different roles. One, the Tyson Kidd character, and then two, the TJ character from Total Divas. It was sort of a combo mix.
Yeah, it wasn't good. I had a problem with this promo just because, like you mentioned, Tyson came off really awkward. Sami did a good job with it.
And Sami came off a little awkward. He was trying to throw the insults, and the one line, though, I did like that, why would Tyler Breeze have Natty's number? That one actually made me laugh. It's like, oh, TJ. Oh, Tyson.
I don't know. It's just, I know Tyson's trying. And you can just tell he's really trying, but this just doesn't feel right with him.
No, it's not as natural as it should be. And that's sort of the issue there. Though I will say, on the positive, I do like that they did a promo on their show to set up the main event.
I did, yes. That was very good. I would agree with that.
That was very good. And again, when you set up Tyson Kidd and Sami Zayn for a main event match, you're probably in for a good night. Now, before we even continue on further, this was the first set of tapings from the latest set of tapings, and oh my god, there's a difference.
Yes, crowd's back.
Welcome back, NXT crowd. We have missed you.
Yeah, last week was no bueno.
We have missed you. So that's the start. That's the start, and that will lead to our main event, our next contest of the evening. Murphy and Blake taking on the Lucha Dragons.
No, get it right. Team Thick.
I was going to get there. It's in my notes. She's jumping the gun.
Damn right.
Sin Cara started things out for his team, and now Blake with a big monkey flip. The announcers mentioned that Murphy and Blake want to be known as Team Thick, as they have thick bodies. Thick muscles and that sort of thing. Say, it's in my notes. Sin Cara takes it to both men. He went for a springboard DDT, but got caught by Murphy in a nice show of strength. Hit a nice suplex after catching him, which was very impressive. Blake then began working with Sin Cara, continued tagging out with Murphy. Sin Cara used his feet to get free, makes the tag to Kalisto, who came in as he does as a house of a little ball of fire. Big crossbody off the top rope, and then a springboard off the rope for a corkscrew crossbody. Kalisto tags back in Sin Cara, then he took out Murphy on the outside, Sin Cara with an impressive, these words were written together, Sin Cara with an impressive sunset flip bomb from the top rope for the victory. Winners, Lucha Dragons. I was impressed with Sin Cara's finish. No matter.
Yeah, that was really nice.
He's been working on something, and again, Sin Cara impressive on this show.
Absolutely, he's definitely improving.
He is, and I liked it. You can see the idea they're using Kalisto as the guy who makes the big hot tag and comes in as House of Fire, so he's trying to work in the WWE style. I'd like to see a little bit more than just a couple big moves from him. See what kind of ability he has a little bit more. I know he's a good wrestler, but you want to see more from him?
Yeah, I would agree with that.
We got a recap of Tyler Breeze injuring Mojo last week, and Mojo talked about his shoulder being banged up, and he'll be out for a while, but he'll come back stronger. It's time to regroup. And all generic things you can say afterwards, he's going to take one step back to take two steps forward. He won't ever forget who did this to him. He's coming back with a vengeance and with rage because he stays hype.
Somebody get Mojo a cookie and a hug.
Pretty much. Now, so we're at a point, before we continue on NXT, there's 5 seconds left. And the Jets are in kind of ish field goal range for a game-winning field goal. Do they make it?
They're going to try.
It's a very, very long kick that they're set up for. It's a 58-yarder. Will they win the game on a game-winning field goal?
Wait. I don't know, because I think I picked the Patriots to win.
It's up, and it's blocked.
Ooh.
The Patriots win on a block.
That's how you do it.
You know what? That's good for me on fantasy because I have a Patriots defense. All right.
Hey.
There you go. So, yeah, Mojo needs a cookie, and his comments were very, very generic. But you can say that about Mojo. He sometimes comes off very generic.
Just a little bit.
And then in what was the aggressive match of the evening? Charlotte versus Becky Lynch.
This is a great match.
They were very physical and aggressive with one another. They locked up, went back and forth, with each woman trying to get the advantage as they both locked arms for a while. When Charlotte attempted to take control, Becky would keep the hammerlock locked in on Charlotte. There was a nice drop toe hold followed by her working over the left leg of Charlotte, a couple roll-throughs and a couple arm drags from Becky Lynch. Charlotte took back control, though, with a huge back breaker. She followed him with big shots and then locked in the figure four headlock, drove her into the canvas a bunch. Becky with a nice bridge out, though, for the escape. Charlotte went for a dropkick. Becky held onto the ropes, allowing her to take back control for a while. Both women then connected with a double clothesline. Both women took the time to get up. Becky got back control, repeated leg drops, including a spinning leg drop for a two count. But Charlotte was then... Charlotte reversed a suplex for a two count, springboard kick in the corner by Becky, and a drop kick for a two count. But then Charlotte had enough. She was like, I'm done playing around. She grabbed the hold of Becky Lynch, hit the neck breaker, and then hit natural selection for the victory. Charlotte wins. Very competitive, very aggressive, very physical. Very physical is the best way I guess I can describe this match.
I would agree with that. Like I said, this was a really, really nice, great match.
It had its awkward moments a little bit. You could tell they were trying some things in this match. They tried a different style a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And again, they've been wrestling a bunch lately, so it's kind of like, okay, we're going to try some new things here and there, and that's what they did with this one, and I like that the champion took back control, hit her moves, won clean. No shenanigans, no nothing. Hit the neck breaker, hit the natural selection, bing, bam, boom, got the match over with.
I would agree with that.
So then we got a little recap of what happened to Hideo last week, and then the Ascension had a message.
Hideo! What we did to your precious friend, Funaki. Well, that's things to come if you don't stay out of our way.
You don't seem to understand. You don't belong here. This is our house. So I'll put it in terms you can get a better grasp upon. Sayonara.
Connor and Victor clearly...
Short and effective right there.
Stop letting the big one talk. I'm sorry. I know he tries. I know he tries so damn hard. But between the two of them, Victor's the better talker. Clearly he's the better talker. Just let Victor do all the work. Seriously, in terms of the talking. let Connor beat people up, but let Victor talk. Or find them a manager. Find them someone.
Well, don't whiff them for a manager, because, well, they could end up with a bearded manager. Anyway.
Yeah, no, 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 not that manager. He's not a manager. He is a wrestler.
I know, right. I know, but you know what I meant.
Yeah, I know what you mean, and no, again, if you're going to split up the Wyatt family just to give Bray Wyatt another tag team, just leave him with Rowan and Harper, seriously.
And
that makes more sense.
It makes a lot more sense, and that seems to be the direction they're going in. Up next, Enzo and Big Cass taking on the Legionnaires. We had Cass start out with a fort, big slam. Before the match began, Enzo and Cass did the rock, paper, scissors to get the match started. LaFort tags out and accidentally pulls off the wig of Marcus Louis, and well, Louis got mad and he got pissed and he attacked LaFort in the corner, tossed him out of the ring, just slammed him into the ramp, left and right, slammed his head repeatedly, and officials came out to check on LaFort. We just saw the breakup of the Legionnaires because, well, Louis is running around with a bald head because LaFort bailed. And he's pissed about it.
Mm-hmm.
I would be.
I actually really kind of like that they had Marcus Louis go psycho on LaFort.
Yeah, it was a nice twist.
Although Marcus Louis is really scary looking when he's angry.
Yeah, you don't want to run into him in the dark alley, especially with a bald head. So, since that match was very quick, they have time for another match, Lindsay.
They do?
Yes. Yes, they do.
I think we could get another match here! Hey, you with the blue pants that I saw back there, why don't you make your way out here? Come on, Bluey.
Old blue pants! Let's get old blue pants out here.
Come on, Bluey. There she is!
Yeah, how you doing? Walking blood.
Bluey, you're the next contestant. Make your way down. Da 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 da. Da 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 da. Da 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 da. Looking good, Bluey.
Yeah. Old blue pants. So you don't have a blue.
Who is this?
What's about to happen to you?
This girl looks like Kitty Pryde.
What is going on here?
Oh, blue pants!
What's a creative name? Old
she
blue
is
pants.
Wearing blue pants.
I'm talking about the blue pants.
Introducing, for the first time in an NXT ring, the Fine, one of a kind. I take back what I said before. We have one dime.
Bottom thing, hottest chick in the ring.
The Fabulous Carmella!
And this was Carmella's debut in the ring. I got a kick out of the blue pants reference.
I got a kick out of the Kitty Pryde reference.
I got.
Did we just get an X-Men reference on NXT?
Yeah, we did. I got a kick how they introduced her. Carmella got the win. She hit her legs as her submission for the victory. She didn't do very much, but you could. There's potential somewhat. Again, she's coming off as a wrestler who's trying to learn things. So it's quick and simple. She beat Miss Blue Pants, which is actually Leva Bates from Shine Wrestling, I believe. And WSU, those sort of promotions. So she picked up the win there.
I will say this. She had the head scissors. Submission was really nice looking.
Yeah, it was. It really
and
was.
And I was actually pretty impressed with her debut. She did a really nice job.
It's quick and simple and to the point. So yeah, she's a nice third to the act.
I would agree with that. She's a very nice compliment to Enzo and Cass.
We go backstage with Sasha Banks.
Sasha, what you did to Bailey the other week was disgusting. Hope you get what's coming to you.
Boo-hoo! Oh, yeah! What's coming to me? The only thing that's coming to me is the NXT Women's Championship, sweethearts. Because I will do whatever it takes to make it to the top. Unlike you, unlike people like Bailey, who want to be nice and shake people's hands, where's that going to get you? Nowhere. You lost twice now to Charlotte, is it? Twice? Maybe you need to look at yourself in the mirror and ask yourself, what do you need to do? To make it to the top.
and the person she was talking with was Becky Lynch. Man, she has a thick accent. Whew.
Is it wrong? I was thinking, oh my god, it's the female Sheamus!
Yeah, and even you listen to Sheamus, and he has a thick accent, but wow, man, she has a thick accent. I don't know if that will that could hold her back.
They're probably working with her on it, probably with a voice coach to help her kind of cut it down just a little bit, I would imagine.
Right, because it came off a little awkward. It's not, you look at her and you don't expect that voice to come out from that body.
Absolutely not. Absolutely not. She talked and I actually had to stop the car. I was like, what?
What? What did she say? Yeah.
And then I had to go back and rewatch it later. I'm like, what?
Right. So, there's that. So, it looks like something's brewing there. And then, we heard from the champ.
Adrian, next week you will be defending your championship title against Titus O'Neil. What are your thoughts on the match?
You know what's really annoyed me ever since I became the NXT champion? It's all these Raw and SmackDown superstars who come to NXT and think just because they're on Raw and they're on SmackDown that we should be intimidated. Well, Titus, I'm not intimidated. Your bark, it may be loud, hoo, 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 but I guarantee you, my bite is certainly worse. So next week, when you get here, when you come to NXT, I will stand directly across the ring from you. I will not budge an inch, and I will say, this is NXT. I am Adrian Neville, and you will not leave here NXT champion.
Speaking of accents,
yeah, but his is at least a little better.
It is better. All right, Adrian, don't bark. Don't.
Yeah, don't.
Don't bark.
Don't try.
Don't bark. So next week on the show, we get Neville versus Titus, and it was announced, Bayley versus Sasha. That should be two good matches next week.
It should be two good matches next week.
But this brings us to the main event, Sami Zayn, Tyson Kidd, to start out. Kidd threw his shirt, which was Sami's shirt, or I should say one of Sami's shirts, into the face of Sami Zayn in the corner. Both men square off, go back and forth. Headlock takeover, leg scissors kickouts by both men. Zayn then threw the Tyson's jacket at him, which was a nice turn of pace. And I think we had a Natty's jacket chant?
I think so, yeah.
Zayn took Kidd off his feet with a shoulder block, and they went back and forth, coming off the ropes, and then flipped over Kidd's attempt of the monkey flip. Then we had a Tyson's chicken chant, which made me laugh. It's creative. Well done, NXT. Zayn with a couple of nice arm drags to Kidd, and Kidd bailed out of the ring. Fans were chanting for LA. Zayn opens the top rope for Kidd, and Kidd won none of it, and then chased him around the ring, and Kidd kicked him right in the face as we went back to break. When we came back to the break, we saw Kidd standing on the fingers of Zayn and worked him over, connected with a nice neck breaker for a two count. He continued to work over Zayn as the crowd was getting behind Sammy, but he drove him back down into the corner, and Kidd connected with a clothesline from behind. Chin lock wearing down, by Kidd wearing down Sami Zayn. Sami fights back up, but Kidd tries to stop him, but Zayn connects with a clothesline and a drop kick. Zayn went for the Huluva kick. But Kidd moved. Zayn got to the top rope, connected with a cross body for a two count. Kidd took back control for a minute, but Kidd tried to run to the rope, but Zayn pulled him back by his tights with creative and hit the blue thunderbomb for a long two count. Zayn went for a suplex. Kidd escaped, hit the fisherman's neckbreaker for a two count. So he went for the blue thunderbomb for a two count. Zayn went for the suplex. Kidd escaped, hit the fisherman neckbreaker, as I mentioned, before the thing went out. Kidd goes for the sharpshooter. Zayn escaped the first time, but locked it in. He struggled and finally got to the ropes, but the damage was done to Zayn. Kidd tried to think of his next move and chokes him in the ropes. Kidd then went for a slingshot leg drop, completely missed. Kidd rolled to the corner, came charging in at Zayn. Zayn hit the shoulder, hit the exploder suplex in the corner, and then Huluva kick for the victory. Your winner, Sami Zayn. It's what you would expect from Sami Zayn and Tyson Kidd.
Yeah, and like I said, it was a good match. It's just Tyson to me has the personality of a postage stamp. He really does. And I know he's trying. I know he's trying really hard, and he's a phenomenal wrestler. I just don't think he has the right skill set to pull off this kind of character, if that makes sense. Because it just, it feels really forced.
He does, he...
Like, which is weird, because when he comes, when he's on Total Divas, he comes off very natural, and obviously that's due to editing.
And again, I don't
even...
Right, because
Natty's also there.
And I don't even think he comes off as fully natural on Total Divas. I think there's some hesitation on there as well. I don't know, he lacks... It may just be his personality. It just comes... He lacks sort of a charisma.
He lacks that it factor, if you want me to be honest. And I hate saying that, but it's just, he just... I don't know. He just... I know there's personality there. I know there's a live wire there. I know it. I know when he's in private, he's much different in person, and I'm sure he's very witty and charming and all those things. But when he's in public, it just doesn't come out. And you can tell he's naturally very quiet and shy and reserved.
Yeah.
And that comes across in his wrestling character, and it's just something of, I think it's hindering him at this point, and really has hindered him his whole career in terms of just being able to get across to an audience. Because he just can't get past it, if that makes sense. And he's trying, and he's trying really hard, and I can appreciate that, and there are moments where he succeeds, but overall, it's just, it's, the character kind of falls flat for me.
Yeah, it's missing something. I could agree there. But anyway, the match was good. It's Sami Zayn and Tyson Kidd. It's what, you know, what else can you expect?
Yeah, I mean, very solid match. Overall, very solid show, very entertaining. Looking forward to next week for the two very exciting matches. And also, I think we get a debut next week. The long-awaited debut. Is this when he finally shows up?
Not yet.
God damn it.
They're dragging out a little bit more. I believe it's coming very, very, very soon.
It's got to be in the next episode or two.
Within the next 3 weeks.
Yeah, for sure.
Well, yeah, because that's all they have taped. Yeah, within the next 3 weeks.
For sure.
But on that note...
Well, I was going to say, what did you think of the show?
It was a solid show. Yeah, a couple good matches, a couple solid squash matches. I like the promo, even though Tyson Kidd is not the greatest, but it was a solid show, entertaining. It's an entertaining hour, and that's what we'll continue to say about NXT. It's an entertaining hour. You're developing characters. It's entertaining. It goes by really, really quick.
Mm-hmm. I would agree with that. But on that note, I say we're done for the night. I love Sammy's theme. It's so awesome. So, well, you have stuff to plug, so plug away.
If you're sick of us, well, then after the Rack Extras this weekend, you're probably sick of us even more. Episode 7. Is it 6 and 7? Yeah, episode 6
yeah.
and 7 available this weekend for the Rack Extra Total Divas. Because they put 2 on, they're putting 2 on next week. A lot of us go listen, they're fun. And one, they're on a bachelorette party, and the other two is really, really drama and a lot of sex talk. So you don't want to miss it. The Rack Extra Total Divas season 3, episode 6 and 7. Available this weekend, Saturday night, after we play cards and torture King Kittens at CB Radio, the weird, the wacky, the unusual. Follow that show on Twitter at CB Radio WTR and Facebook.com. So cigarette butts and bandanas. Check out the brand new website, CBRadioLive.com.
King Kittens, we need to swap wedding stories. I want to find out if you wore a dress.
Hashtag blame Rob as well. Use it to interact with us on CB Radio. Yeah, Sunday night, Wrestle Talk Radio with Tim Stein Mace and Omega at 10 p.m. Eastern. Follow out show on Twitter at WTR Sunday Night and Wrestle Talk Radio on the Facebooks. Monday nights are all post show. live at 11:10 p.m. Eastern. We'll be back next Thursday night at 10 p.m. Eastern for another edition of The Rack. Follow the show on Twitter at WTRD_Rack and Facebook.com/WTRTheRack. Follow me on Twitter at Wild Talk Radio and Facebook.com/Wild Talk Radio Network. Check out WTRProductions.com. And yeah.
You can follow me on Twitter at LinsWard, LinsWard, and go to my website, psychwarddesigns.com. Check that out. If you like my artwork, if you'd like to view my artwork, it is available for your viewing pleasure at Behance.net/LinsWard, same as the Twitter. I'd like to extend a very, very, very big thank you to Kane and to WWE. It was awesome to speak with him, and looking forward to speaking with more people very soon, hopefully. I'd also like to extend a ginormous thanks to our wonderful sponsors, PWMania.com, TNAsylum.com, The Haven for TNA fans, and Wrestling Figure Wednesdays, YouTube.com/MBG1211. Go there for all your stop-motion wrestling action figure needs. So for Rock, I'm Lindsay Ward. You've been listening to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, and we will see you next week. Bye!
Come.